Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Joe, Josh Heupel still being relatively, I guess maybe coy, the right word, about Hendon Hooker and his availability coming up this week. You know, he's not ruled him out yet to this point. Says they'll continue to monitor Hendon Hooker as he goes throughout the week here. I still would be surprised if Hooker is available to go on Saturday. And I told you yesterday, and I believe this, if there's any chance that he's still dealing with an injury on Saturday, just send him out. Let him get through the bye week and let him get to the Kentucky game, hopefully healthy at that point. And take your chances with Joe Milton in this game. I mean, you're a 24.5-point dog in this game against Alabama. It's probably not going to go well, regardless of who the quarterback is in this game. So I know you can't really think that way if you're Josh Heupel, but it's one of those things where I'll be surprised if Hooker is in there coming up on Saturday. I am interested if, even without Hooker, they're able to move the ball on this Alabama defense. Alabama obviously responded pretty well last week after the loss to Texas A&M. They destroyed Mississippi State. Can a Joe Milton-led offense move the ball and score some points against this Bama defense? Going to be interesting to see if that's the case. Be interested to see if Tyon Evans is a part of things as well.
Yeah, that would be big. You know, Tyon Evans coming back would be big. I mean, he gave it a try Saturday before the Ole Miss game, and it wasn't able to go. Jabari Small was very good in that game.
Yep.
Both of them would be everything you can have for this game, because really it's your, as impressive as this Tennessee defense has been, it's your best chance of making a game of this. You're going to have to score a lot of points. And I don't have a high confidence in Joe Milton doing that, because you have to be very efficient. But I'm interested. You know, I think that Joe Milton, what gets lost in the Jover throws, the sailing of deep balls left and right in the last time he really played extensively, is the fact that every other pass that he wasn't throwing deep, and I mean, Pitt just kept giving them, you know,
please
shots.
Throw the deep ball.
I mean, Narduzzi was like, sure, prove it, and he didn't. But when he threw short and intermediate in that game, he was going through his reads. He was on target.
Yep.
I mean, you can fit that ball. When you have an arm like that, it's not just that you can throw it 1,000 yards. You can also fit it into tight spaces. He did that. I mean, actually, it was a game where you saw some progress from Bowling Green, but then the focus is on those missed opportunities. And look, if you have missed opportunities like that Saturday, well, forget about making it a game. So I don't – and I know he came in the Florida game and didn't look great, but – if he has this whole week, which I think is probably what's happening, to prepare for this game to be the starter, kind of another chance, hey, I'm intrigued. I'm not ruling it out. That, again, he beat out Hendon Hooker for the job, for a reason, right? You know, people, this is another, this is like the revisionist historian playground of, oh, Derrick Henry was amazing all along. You should have, you know, what was Matt LaFleur doing? Or, you know, well, how could Joe Milton possibly, you know, Heupel totally botched this, it should have been Hooker all along. You don't know. You don't know until guys get out there on Saturdays and start playing these games. And sometimes they're better than they show in practice, and sometimes they're worse. Clearly, Milton has been worse.
Well, the thing with him is, like, it would be one thing if he was just throwing picks left and right, right? I mean, if he's turning the ball over. And when he's been in there, that's not really been the problem. Like, he's not been turning the ball over. He's just either missing wide-open receivers or his decision-making has not been good. Like, I thought even the first game that he played against Bowling Green, he didn't make great decisions in that game. I mean, the reads weren't there, and I think it may have been Jordan Rogers on the broadcast, like, pointing out, hey, man, there's a guy wide open running a corner route in the end zone. You're just missing him. Like, that happened in the first game. To your point, I thought he was much better with his reads in the second game against Pittsburgh.
He was.
He just missed on the wide-open receivers, stricken down the field. So, you know, obviously, you can't have that happen and try to at least hang in there with Alabama. You know, I don't expect this to be much of a game on Saturday, regardless of who the quarterback is, because as well as Tennessee has played this year, and especially defensively, and we had Adam Sparks on the other day, And I agree with what he said. The statement was, I mean, everybody's played pretty much a letter grade better than you thought heading into the season. As well as that defense has played, I still don't think that they match up very well against Alabama in that offense.
No.
So, could be a rough day on that side of the ball.
Georgia matches up well.
And yeah, that's about it.
And, yeah, there's my list of teams that do. When Alabama's playing well, I mean, their offensive line is, again, just loaded. And they may not have the, you know, Derrick Henry, Najee Harris type back, but they...
Brian Robinson's pretty good.
He's pretty good. Young receivers, young quarterback who's going to be great. So, yeah. Look, the Vols lead Power 5 in tackles for loss. They're aggressive. They make plays. I think, you know, Byron Young, the way he has come on here with Tyler Barron, I mean, you know, like you can, I think you can get some stops in this game. Theo Jackson's been great this year, but for the most part, you're not going to get a ton. You're going to have to be very good on offense. I think the tempo, when it's run the way Tennessee runs it, and Milton, I don't think there's any difference in Milton Hooker in terms of being able to go fast and know the offense and boom, boom, boom. It's just, you know, it's a matter of making those plays. And another difference is just that Hooker, as a runner, is just more elusive, and he's quicker, and he gets going fast quicker. And that's been a real weapon for Tennessee. And Milton, when he gets going, he's a good runner. He's a powerful runner, but it's not the same threat. So that's another thing that you take a step back on a little bit.
A lot of power on that run the other night for Milton, too. Almost went right at you.
That's true. He almost took out the press corps, which is hard because you got him coming at you, and then, oh my gosh, there's a Dasani bottle that just landed by my feet. Like, you're dodging all kinds of things.
And then it's, oh my gosh, the ball's not in the end zone. It's still in Milton's hand. What's going on here?
Did you notice? Yeah. Well, you know, he's just trying to get him a little closer for the next game.
Hero ball.
Yeah, you can carry that over to the next game.
That's right.
First and goal at the 8.
I just punched the mic.
By the way, on the TV broadcast, could you tell that as soon as that play ended that there were, like, another handful of bottles in the field? Oh, yeah.
No.
Like, right in the end zone, another one just came. I mean, I guess it was another one. We lost. Dang it. Boom.
Or just yelling at Milton. You throw it like this. Yeah. That's how you throw the ball.
Maybe that's what it was. No, Joe, this is what you do.
Hey. Oh, man. I still can't believe that. Here we are 5 days later. I still can't believe you didn't throw the ball in the end zone.
Yeah,
oh, that's a tough one.
It's a toughie. Yeah.
Although, I will say,
football.
Had he run the whole – had he run it in, what a play that would have been. We'd have been talking about that one for a long time. Joe Milton runs it in from 40 yards out to win the game.
Yeah, that would have been awfully impressive. It would have been like Mark Bavaro run from the 80s or something. So, I think he'll get another chance. He'll get a chance to redeem himself.
Any chance Harrison Bailey is the starter and not Joe Milton?
No.
I say no. You're going to hear some of that this week if Hooker can't go.
Yeah. Not much, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that there's...
Look, Tennessee fans are out on Joe Milton. I can just tell you. They're
out.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I don't necessarily blame them. Like, I love the arm talent, but, like, at some point, you got to be able to make the throws and make good decisions. But if you're still in on Harrison Bailey... Like, he's not going to be the quarterback at Tennessee.
Well,
like, Harrison Bailey's not going to be on this team next year.
Yeah.
He's just not.
I mean, I suppose, you know, if Milton really struggles in this game, you go to him, you know.
Yeah.
It's worth a shot. But, no, Milton is, I don't know, we'll see. I'm not sold on he has no chance to be a good quarterback. That decision, the last decision he made, that's a big mistake. Maybe he just can't figure out the touch on a deep ball. I mean, I think that's very possible. And if he can't do that, you got to have that to some extent. It's just such a flat deep ball.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
but he's got talent. I mean, he's got some things.
Hidden Hooker, you know, he's not the best deep ball thrower in terms of it looking aesthetically pleasing out there. But he's hitting the guys. Like, it doesn't always look pretty, but he hits them. And you at least have to have that threat.
Yeah, look.
Beyond 15 yards down the field.
I mean, Hooker's been really freaking good.
Yeah.
And, that's why in the spring, I mean, Hooker was the number one guy. I mean, he had advanced past Bailey. You know, I think the Bailey stuff, if not for the fact that he got a couple big plays in the spring game, maybe it would be different. But I know still, it's still like the young, whoever was a big recruit.
He's five-star, man.
Yeah, five-star recruit. I mean, come on, what? It's a five-star. I mean, those guys always work out. I mean, I think Harrison Bailey could still be a good quarterback, but yeah, it'll be somewhere else next year.
102.5 The Game has your chance to win Preds tickets during the month of October. Just post a picture of your radio dial set to 102.5 The Game on social media, tag The Game, and use hashtag TicketDash to be instantly qualified to win. Show us your dash, brought to you by Social Furniture. Support local, support social. We got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game and Joe Rexroad this Saturday from 11 to 1 p.m. at Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville, located at 277 Mallory Station Road in Cool Springs. The game will have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds game, and we'll be giving away some great prizes as well. It's Pella's open house with huge savings and last chance to take advantage of 2021 pricing. Bring your window and door measurements to the Pella showroom and receive additional 10% off of advertised promos. Pella will be open from 9 to 3 p.m. for this event. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Joe Rexroad, we talked about it a little bit in the best and worst thing in sports, but the Jeremy Pruitt situation with the investigation into the Tennessee football program and Jeremy Pruitt's lawyers giving an October 29th deadline that they used to reach a settlement with the University of Tennessee. So here it is, October the 21st. That's a week from tomorrow, the deadline that Jeremy Pruitt's lawyers have thrown out there to Tennessee. Where do you think all this goes as Tennessee tries to sort through all this with Jeremy Pruitt and going back to the firing him with cause, Pruitt trying to get some money out of it? Where do you think this all ends up here in the next week?
I still think there's a settlement. I do. I don't know what it'll be. I understand. I've seen a lot of Tennessee fans who are like, nope, don't give that guy a dime. This is different, as you know, Staples pointed out in his piece today, than like the David Beatty thing with Kansas, which was purely like using the same lawyer, purely a let's find a way to get out of the buyout.
Yep.
Okay. And what they found was like using people you're not supposed to use in practice. It was so dumb. It was very trumped up and stupid. It was like using staff members who weren't among the – yeah, so basically people coaching on the field who weren't actual assistants, okay? Something similar happened with Kevin Stallings at Pittsburgh, by the way, but people who were coaching on the field who weren't assistants, and so the way that the attorney – Michael Lyons, the way that he won the case for his client and basically got all the money out of Kansas, is that he showed video of the predecessor, Les Miles, doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And so they're like, yeah, okay. So this has been going on. So whatever. He got the money. This is different. There's a few things. At some point, we're going to hear specifics on the investigation of Pruitt, and there's stuff for sure. This is not just like, let's come up with something and try to make it up. I mean, there's real stuff. Again, had he been winning, it'd be real stuff that would be spun totally the other way.
Yep.
And, you know, we made some mistakes and, you know, had some people on staff. They're going to sacrifice a couple assistants and, you know, the guy from Alaska would be sacrificed.
Sounds like a horrible movie. The guy from Alaska sacrificed.
His name is eluding me, but I mean he was like their assistant poacher. Gosh, now it's gonna bother me. you know, you'd sacrifice him and a couple people. And, you know, Coach Pruitt had no knowledge of this. And, of course, he runs a program with integrity, and we don't cheat at Tennessee. Just like, you know, Philip Fulmer puts out this statement about this stuff. Like, I told him we never cheat. You know, okay, fine. But instead, he was bad. He was a bad coach, so they put it on him. But there is stuff. They have stuff. It's not the same thing as David Long at Kansas just trying to come up with any reason to save a few million dollars. But here's the thing that I would ask, and this is beyond Tennessee, and it happens all the time. I saw it on my beat that I had for most of my career. If you're a college sports fan, I mean, look, Kentucky basketball fans, they do the same thing.
Do you know any?
Yeah, I do. And it's, well, our coach does not cheat. Your coach cheats, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm seeing a lot of this week. On the, you know, Rick Barnes gets dragged into this. Jeremy Pruitt drags in, basically suggesting that he has dirt on other programs cheating, right?
Right.
I have no idea what he has, what he doesn't have. But just understand, like, you don't know what the heck your coach does to recruit players. You don't know.
Yeah.
Because you like his personality or her personality, that means that, there's pure integrity there. I mean, please. You don't know what goes on. Tennessee's men's basketball recruiting has been phenomenal.
Yes, it has.
The best it's ever been. That's just a reality. Am I saying that Rick Barnes is a cheater? No. I will say that Power 5, upper crust college, men's college basketball programs, there's money that's flowing.
Oh, yeah.
There's money that's flowing from sneaker companies. And, I mean, this has all been laid bare by the FBI investigation. Go read all the stuff about Bill Self in Kansas. Oh, Kansas fans, Coach Self would never do such a thing. You know, Duke fans, oh, Coach K would never be like John Calipari. And, John Calipari used to be like the guy. He was the cheater in college basketball. Let's be real about how this works. And, again, all this stuff should be this stuff is being destigmatized, as it should be, because of name, image, likeness. And that's where it just, I mean, frankly, to me, it just, who cares? I've always thought that, but really, who cares? Still, though, if this is going to be, it's still, there are still NCAA rules. There are still penalties possible. And you don't know what Pruitt has or doesn't have. It's probably a bluff. But just understand, like, just because you like your coach, and I'm talking to all college sports fans, you like your coach's personality, you have no idea what happens in recruiting. And in high major college basketball and college football, there's a lot of people who understand what their value is, and they demand to be compensated for their value, as they should be in this country, in this world.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenneth Coleman texting in. I don't think most fans, or at least the ones I know, don't say our coach doesn't cheat. I say I hope they are cheating, and it works, and they don't get caught. Everybody does it.
Well, I love that.
Yeah.
That's exactly
good
what
answer,
you should
Kenneth.
Say. Yeah. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Just don't be sloppy when you cheat, which is Jeremy Pruitt's problem, clearly.
Yes.
So I don't know where this goes, but I still think it'll be a settlement. You're going to take this all the way to the end, and then you're going to – whatever Michael Lyons has, you're going to – hey, okay, here we go.
Well, I guess it depends on, like what is the settlement, right? I mean, so, like, what is Jeremy Pruitt willing to accept in this process? If it's $2-4 million, then okay. If he wants $10-12 million, then no.
Like, yeah, I sure. I don't know. I don't know. But there's got to be a negotiation on the numbers. And I've heard this too. Well, if you give him a dime, then you are
complicit.
Right, yeah. or like you're inviting more trouble from the NCAA.
Right.
No. I mean, the investigation is going to be is on the facts of the case. I mean, the settlements. That's just the normal way of doing business in this world.
Yeah,
that's not going to hurt you in the eyes of NCAA investigators.
Well, but to that point, and you brought this up a little bit earlier. I do. If you're looking at it from Tennessee's perspective, how much do you look at the NCAA right now and say, yeah, you know what? I think we'll take our chances with what's going on with the NCAA and everything that their name being dragged through the mud, through the Supreme Court cases and NIL coming into effect. yeah, we don't think they've got a whole lot of power right now. We'll just take our chances. Like, how much does that factor in?
That's the case Staples makes. And I get it. I guess it's just a question of, is public embarrassment still a big factor here? Do you care? Maybe not. I mean, does it hurt you if there is dirt on people that's going to come out, whether it ultimately results in penalties or not, or significant penalties or not? I mean, I suppose you could say at Tennessee, I mean, look, this thing, I think like there's more of a deal made out of this whole thing somewhere else because Tennessee's just had so many things.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems that way. Seems like there's a little bit of numbness to all this stuff. It's like, oh, here we go, another thing. I mean, it's crazy.
It's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, Rick Barnes out here just trashing Jeremy Pruitt.
Which, to your point, is kind of amazing because he never really says anything like that.
I know. He never criticizes an individual publicly. And he's just...
Unless it's John Fulkerson.
Well, that's true. He gets after his players a little bit, which I appreciate.
Yes.
But I still think that there's a possibility for harmful stuff to come out that wouldn't come out potentially if you came to some kind of settlement. I still think that. But you're right. If it's like, no, we're not going any lower than 10. I don't know. But we got about a week here.
Yeah.
A week to figure this out.
Going to be interesting to see if this actually gets there to where there's lawyer involvement or whether or not there is a settlement. Hope Jeremy Pruitt's having a good time coaching those Giants up there. What's he doing up there again?
I don't even know. and then on the Pruitt front, that's another thing.
Senior defensive assistant for the Giants.
I mean, Pruitt.
Whatever that means.
I'm sure Pruitt wants to be like a college coach again.
Yeah.
Obviously, he loves recruiting. He likes his crouton.
Yes, he does.
But is he hireable?
I don't know.
I mean, the thing is...
Back to Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he could go there and be an assistant. Maybe he's better staying in the NFL. I mean, this is...
Well, he's not going to be hired as a head coach anywhere.
I'm talking about any time ever.
Okay.
Do you think any time ever he could wind his way back?
I mean,
if he's Saban's D coordinator and they win 3 natties.
I mean, maybe. I just don't think he's a very good head coach. Yeah. Like, I don't know how you fix that. I mean, you can get better as a coach, obviously. And, you know, I don't discount, I guess, the chance that he could learn from mistakes of the past. But, like, everything you hear coming out of that place, and I think it's pretty obvious with what we're seeing on the field now. Like, think about most of the players making an impact this year for Tennessee. They're Jeremy Pruitt guys, and they're playing better than we thought they would. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Well, that's coaching.
Right. That part of it for sure.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just saying even from the aspect – like you'd have to rehabilitate yourself as a coach, which does happen in Alabama.
It does.
I mean, it helps when you have the best players every week.
It does.
But is he – because of this thing, does that – how much does that damage him? I mean, you could be sympathetic to him and say, look at all that went on. What is he supposed to do? But I think that's why he's more desperate here to get the money.
Yeah.
Because he's never going to get that $4 or $5 million a year head coach salary again.
He's not. And look, I don't like his chances of becoming a head coach again, but I don't know how much of it has to do with this. Like, I think as time goes on and NIL starts to become more and more part of the norm, I think a lot of people forget about this. Just my thoughts on it. So I don't think it's going to hurt him that much from that perspective. I just don't think he's a very good head coach.
No. So, well, no, there's no argument to the contrary on that.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. Get his thoughts on the Predators 3 games in as they look ahead to game 4 tonight between the Predators and the New York Rangers. Speaking of the Nashville Predators, the 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series is on the horizon. You can join the party on February 26th as the Nashville Predators square off against the Tampa Bay Lightning outdoors at Nissan Stadium. Commissioner Gary Bettman in the house yesterday at Nissan Stadium for the press conference making the official announcements. Going to be a really cool environment at Nissan Stadium. 70,000 rocking fans. And Smashville is excited to welcome the entire hockey community for a unique spectacle that celebrates the spirit of Nashville. You can buy your tickets starting today at nhl.com/stadium-series-tickets. Once again, that's nhl.com/stadium-series-tickets. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit VolstateBank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. The Nashville Predators in action tonight against the New York Rangers. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. Hal, what's going on? How are we doing?
Just on my way into morning skate, which I believe just got canceled.
It did.
So I guess I'll just hang out there and wait and chat with a couple players and see what's going on and see, you know, if there's some excitement after a big win and how they can carry it on tonight.
So how, with that in mind, what did you make of the way they played against L.A. in terms of their ability to come back in the third period? And how do you build on wins in games like that early in the season while you keep the bigger picture in mind as well of, hey, there's still 79 more of these things to go?
Yeah, well, you know, I always said you can't look too far ahead. You got to kind of focus on, although, you know, I've always been looking at what's the next road game. Like, when do we get on the road? When do we get out of here? But I look at it as game by game. And the hard part and the challenge when you lose two games and you play the right way and you do all the right things is you say, okay, you know, we're building on something here, but what do we have to do different so we can win games? You know, it's you look at the first period, I feel like the Preds played an okay period, but they didn't have whatever it took to get over the edge and get goals. And so you say, okay, what do we have to do to change? But you have to stay and play the same way. So it becomes kind of a mind game. And I think they overcame a little bit of a hurdle there, and I'm anxious to see if they can continue doing that. You know, I think they turned it on and, for the most part, took over the game. And I think you need to do that. You need to have that mentality that you're going to take over games, but it's not always easy. And so, especially with a bunch of younger guys that maybe they don't know how to take over a game. That's something you have to learn. It's like, hey, when you get the throttle down, you keep going at her. And that's something that they have to learn. And I think that's a good step, though. We'll see how it continues tonight.
Hal, how good could Tanner Jeannot ultimately be?
I'm intrigued by him because it sometimes, you know, it kind of reminds me of Eric Lindros was, and I'm not putting him in an Eric Lindros category, but when I was playing against Eric Lindros, I didn't know who I was going to get. Was I going to get a goal scorer, or was I going to get a guy who's going to smash my head through the boards? And Tanner Jeannot is kind of that player, right? I feel like he's got an offensive upside that it's fun to watch, right? I mean, he's got speed. He's got pretty good hands. He can shoot. So I think there's that offensive upside there. But he's really come into the league as a guy who's going to go and punish defensemen. And we saw what he did with Drew Doughty, and I could watch that over and over again. Just as a, not just the physical strength, but that takes core strength. That takes a different kind of man strength. I always called it farm boy strength. You know, like there's those kids that grew up in the farm in Saskatchewan, and you know, there's other guys that are jacked, but something about a farm boy strength, and I think he's got that, where he can just be strong on pucks and physical and punish guys. So I'm intrigued by him, and I don't know how far he can go with it. Could he be a top six guy where he goes out there and punishes guys and then scores goals? I'd love to see that. And so I think that's there for him, which is, if you're a Preds fan, that's pretty exciting.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hal, some adjustments made by the coaching staff. Dante Favreau's been with Yossi the last couple of games. Alex Carrier has been with Matthias Ekholm. What do you like about those pairings? What have you made of how they've done through two games together?
Well, what I really like is the confidence that Favreau has seemed to find. You know, he's obviously a good player, but he went through an injury and he had battles with confidence coming back, I think. And so now I look at a guy who's got his game in order and he's starting to build on it. And every shift he goes out, he's a little more aggressive on his gaps. He's moving the puck a little bit more efficiently. He's not second-guessing himself. He seems a little more determined to just go and play. And that's exciting for me. So I think seeing him with Yossi, it's I really like Carrier, and I, it's still hard for me to say, like, he's so consistent, you know? Like, he doesn't really make, like, rookie mistakes. He doesn't make young D-man mistakes. He's been so consistent, and I keep waiting for it, but he doesn't do it. And that's what you need playing with Ekholm is a guy that can just play big minutes against the best lines and be consistent with it. And so I've been really happy with that, and I like the way those pairings play out. And, you know, I give John Hines credit and for recognizing, okay, things aren't working. We got to make some tweaks, because there would be some coaches that would sit there and go, hey, we got to play this out with the way we started. And you got to pull the trigger sometimes and find out who's playing well together. And I think they made that move and found a good click.
So, Hal, a lot of discussion this week, of course, about, you know, Cody Glass, Philip Tomasino, opening night lineup, and then, you know, obviously Tomasino's been a healthy scratch, Cody Glass in Milwaukee. What do you think of both of them at this stage, and what do you think is best for them?
Yeah, it's hard for people to understand, and you guys have some people at your radio station that don't understand, but you try to explain it as best you can, that you have to develop each player at their own rate. You can't just say, hey, this is a good young player, let's go throw him to the wolves and let him get chewed up and spit out. Confidence is everything, especially for a guy like Glass, like Tomasino, that they need to make plays. You know, you can say, you know, we talked about Jeannot and Olivier, you can say, go out there and smash guys. You either smash guys or you don't. You know, and with an offensive guy you want for a top six role, you got to have confidence, you got to make plays. And so I think for Cody Glass, I know obviously he wants to just come and jump in and play for the Preds and be awesome, but he's got to play, you know, he's going to play 10 minutes, maybe 12 minutes with the Preds, and that would be a lot for him at this point. He can go down to Milwaukee, play 18 to 22 minutes, and dominate a game, and get his confidence up, learn what he has to do the right way, and then come back and play that way and translate to the NHL with that confidence. And the same thing with Tomasino. He can sit out a couple games, go through practice, learn from guys, talk to the coaches, look at film, and kind of slow build his game and go out there and play with confidence and you know, play rested. And not, you know, if you go out night in and night out, you start to cut corners, and at this point, you can't cut corners as a young player. You have to do all the little things right, and if you're fatigued from just being thrown to the wolves and playing and trying to tread water, it just makes it tough. So each player is out there, and I'll say that with Phil Myers, too. You know, he's a guy that's got to learn the game and learn how the Preds want him to play, and I think he's going to have a great career, as I think all these guys are going to have, and that's why David Poile brought him here, is because he believes in him. But it's got to be each case has to be handled differently, and you have to do it within the team works and how they want to execute their systems, and there's a lot that goes into it. So I'm not discouraged by it. I think it's a step back for a good reason.
Preds Radio analyst Hal Gill has been our guest here on Robbie and Rextra. Joins us every Thursday at 9:30. Hal, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me. Enjoy the game tonight, guys.
Absolutely, we will. You do the same. Hal Gill, every Thursday morning at 9:30. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Hal had to say. Take a look at the Predators and their matchup tonight against the New York Rangers. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rextra here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Rock Bottom Brewery this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway prior to the Titans taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. The NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Joe Rexroad, the Predators in action tonight, taking on the New York Rangers. New York 2-1-1 on the season. The Preds 1-2-0. They get their first win last Tuesday, or a couple days ago. I don't know why I said last Tuesday. A couple days ago against the LA Kings. We'll see if they can build on that performance tonight. New York, they've got some good young pieces coming in here that can be dangerous offensively. Then you throw in Zibanejad, Artemi Panarin. Lots of firepower on this Rangers team.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to have, you know, different teams.
It is.
Teams from
another
conference.
Not play against Carolina again for maybe another three seasons.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen my fill of it.
Yeah.
Like Carolina. Nothing wrong with Carolina.
It was a fun playoff series.
Like Rod Brindamore. Fun playoff series, but.
Yeah, just a little bit of variety.
Yeah.
Like Dan Hynote said earlier, probably more work for the coaches. I mean, it is funny. Like last year, you're playing these doubleheaders, and it's like, okay, so we know the scout, right? Like we just saw these guys 10 days ago.
Huh?
Now we got a doubleheader with them. Now it's like, hey, here's a new team. Here's some players. Exciting for the fans to just be able to see these different players.
Yep,
including Lafreniere. Alexis Lafreniere.
Really wanting to say that. It's good stuff by you.
He's got a goal.
He does. It's going to be interesting. Like, I look at this game, and first off, it was funny because I brought up Matthias Ekholm last week when he signed his extension and, you know, how he's always so open and honest. Like, he was out there yesterday at Nissan Stadium doing the Stadium Series media availability, and they were asking him, I guess, about Tampa Bay and if that was like a rivalry turning into a rivalry. And he's like, yeah, I think that'd probably be a bit of a stretch. Not much of a rivalry. He's like, just Carolina. Yeah, probably so. But Tampa Bay, we played them a lot last year, but probably a stretch to call it a rivalry. You know, like typically most players, and especially in that setting, when you're hyping up this one game, they'd be like, oh, yeah, I could see this really turn into a rivalry. But Matthias Ekholm's like, no, not really.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming, though, guys. Have a nice flight back.
Oh, man. It was awesome.
Smashville Spectacular. Smashville, what did Sean Henry call it?
Smashville Spectacular.
Smashville Spectacular.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
It's good. Good.
I would expect that the outdoor game at Nissan Stadium is going to be awesome. Now, obviously, Tampa Bay is a really good team, and the Preds are going to have their hands full that day. But the spectacle, the game itself, Nashville will do it as well or better than anybody else has. I can promise you that.
I would say that's as safe a bet as anything.
Yep. Ben on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We should get to 10-4-1 easily unless Forsberg gets hurt. So I guess Ben breaking down the schedule 15 games in should be 10-4-1.
Easy, Ben.
They got
hockey is very hard to predict.
Yeah, they got Winnipeg coming up Saturday, Minnesota Sunday, so a back-to-back on the road this weekend. Winnipeg's a good team. Minnesota's a good team. Now, Winnipeg's got some COVID issues they're working through right now. Mark Scheifele just got put on the COVID list, so we'll see what it looks like with Winnipeg on Saturday. But, you know, the Sharks next week. Barry Trotz and the Islanders coming in next Saturday. There's some challenging games coming up. Then you go to Western Canada.
Yeah, that's a lot of optimism out of you, Ben.
Yeah.
A lot of optimism.
You got a 6-game road trip coming up to begin November. Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, Chicago, Dallas, St. Louis. There's some good teams in there.
Look at all those teams that you're not used to seeing. It's kind of exciting. But, yeah, it won't be easy.
I mean, the Blues off to a good start. It feels like the Predators hadn't played the Blues in forever because they pretty much haven't played the Blues in forever.
Almost 2 years, which is just wild, you know?
It is. Vladdy Tarasenko, game-winning goal last night.
He's back.
Hasn't been traded yet either, so holding on to him.
I need to make a quick response here.
You do whatever you need to do.
On the whole Jordan and Derrick Henry thing, okay?
Okay.
So Jared, who, you know, Hal referred to last segment, you can give the ball to Michael, he'll win the game, I said. And Jared said, that's exactly what Derek does. You know, there was a period of time where Jordan lost games. I'm not saying Jordan won it, believe me. Of all people, I am not saying that Michael Jordan won the game every time or hit every – that's how people look back on Jordan when they make the LeBron. It's like, oh, LeBron, you're not clutch like MJ. I was like, listen, I watch MJ brick plenty of game-winning shot, okay? No one's perfect. The point is that Michael Jordan is going to be in position to win or lose the game for you.
Right.
Derrick Henry, at times, is taken out of the game. Now, I would argue that in the Seattle game, we saw a compelling reason to keep him on the field still in those situations. But that has been the reality for him, and it's still been at times this year, even like in the Jets game when they came down and tied it, you know, that was mostly McNichols. So it is different. And in the context of MVP, I mean, that look, if you're looking for things to nitpick on him, I mean, that's kind of a big thing at times. So that's just the reality. It's tough to beat a quarterback. And this team, well, there's no question he's the best player on the team. Like, another Jared thing is, like, this team would be garbage if they didn't have Derrick Henry. You agree with this?
What does garbage mean?
Like, they'd be a terrible team. He said, he used the word terrible. Terrible team.
No, they would be, let's say last year they're an 11-win team with Derrick Henry.
Yep.
They would have been a 6-7 wins.
Okay, that's probably bigger than I'd take away from
it. Oh, yeah. And I think, but garbage, I think of like 2-3 wins.
Well, that's the thing. Last year, I guess this year, is the defense going to, you know,
right,
be better? It's doing some things better for sure. Is it going to be better? Is like Julio Jones going to be part of, like, if you had Darrington Evans, Julio Jones, the defense getting healthy.
See, it's hard for me to answer that question because I have no clue what Darrington Evans is. He can't stay on the field.
Yeah.
So I have no idea.
No, sure. I'm just saying, like, best case scenario health other than losing Derrick Henry. Could you have a winning team? I still think you could. I mean, you're probably about a 9-8, 8-9 team versus, I think, probably like a 12-5 team with him.
Yeah.
Which is a massive difference.
Sure.
And it's as big a difference as a running back could make to a team. There's no doubt. But terrible?
Week 7 is upon us, and there's a big Thursday night matchup between Cleveland and Denver. Make sure you check that out tonight. Also, a big one coming up on Sunday between Houston and Arizona. And FanDuel Sportsbook about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the NFL week the right way by winning $150 on a $5 bet. Offers like this are one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe, and secure, and they get you your money quickly in as little as 24 hours. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code ROB this week before Houston takes on Arizona, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. A $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. You going to be watching some Thursday Night Football tonight? The Case Keenum versus Teddy Bridgewater matchup?
Probably more Preds than that.
I would say so.
But sure, it's a good flip back or phone stream.
I will watch zero Thursday Night Football tonight.
Zero.
Zero. I will be at the Preds game, and I don't have a whole lot of interest in Teddy Bridgewater versus Case Keenum.
But you have a phone.
I don't care.
You still won't stream a football game? See, I always use if there's something streamable, I'll stream it.
I will not do it.
You won't do it. All right, I'll text you updates on the game.
Thank
then.
You. Please do.
Sure.
That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rexford. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase is up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.